Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Welcome back. This is episode 256 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. I am Sean Penrod, your host, and I'm so pumped that you're joining me for another amazing interview that I have for you today. Last week was Thanksgiving here in the States, and it was just a great time to kick back and be with family. And I did go out on Friday, and I bought a booster box, and I got that cool treasure chest buy a box promo thing that I had going on, so it was pretty fun. I also scored a box of From the Vault Transform. I love the From the Vault sets. I've collected them all. Well, the first three I'm missing because I didn't come into Magic until after those were out. But hey, I'll get them someday just to complete the collection. But that's neither here nor there. I got the From the Vault Transform set over the weekend, and it's really cool. And that is, in fact, what we will be sending out as the patron-exclusive reward for this month. So for those of you who don't know, every month we do a giveaway to the patrons, where we always give out some sweet Magic-related product. When I say we, I mean MTG Pro Tutor and Paragon City Games. So thank you, Paragon City Games, for sponsoring the show, for providing the prize support. I was over at the store this weekend, and they said that they have a From the Vault Transform set aside, ready to go. When December rolls around, I will pick a winner, and the lucky patron will get a From the Vault Transform. So anyways, good stuff, a lot of fun stuff. Before we dive into the interview, I want to say last weekend was GP Lyon, where it was a team event, and can you believe it? Christopher Larson again made it into the top. In fact, he took down the tournament with his teammates. It was really fun to see him up there in first place. We are definitely having him on the show here soon. We just reran his episode not too long ago, and how appropriate is it that that happened? Because now he is at the top of another Grand Prix. And what's really cool is that his teammates were wearing Snapcardster shirts, if you saw that. And Snapcard is a project organized by a gentleman named Pierre Reichelson, and he's getting a free shout-out right now. He's back on the show a while ago, where he was talking about organizing events locally and then launching a Magic-related app. And that was kind of fun to see that side of Magic, and they're still going strong, and looks like they sponsored a couple players who made it into first place of a Grand Prix, so that's pretty cool. Anyways, a lot of fun stuff going on in Magic, and I'm really excited to bring you this great interview. So without further ado, let's sit down and talk about Magic. What's up, everybody? I'm super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest has been playing Magic since the end of 2002. He started playing competitively in 2004, but without any notable successes. His best year started in 2008 when he first qualified for Nationals via a national qualifier, which he would repeat for 3 years in a row. He peaked by winning a PTQ in Philadelphia in 2011. And since then, he made top eight at GP Liverpool in 2017. Coming to us from Dresden, Germany, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Torsten Anders. Torsten, how are you doing today?
Hello, I'm fine today.
Excellent. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Yeah, I am.
Excellent. Now, prodigies out there, if you try really hard, you can find Torsten on Twitter. He is at 1OR513N. But he obviously he's not on there too often. So if you want to get a hold of him, join the Facebook group. We're going to get Torsten into the Prodigy Facebook group. You can do a post and tag him in it. Say thanks for being on the show. Ask him a question. But that would be the best place to get a hold of Torsten is on Facebook. So Torsten, tell us what you have going on outside of Magic. Are you is Magic full time maybe, or do you work? Are you a student? What's going on?
I'm not doing this full time. Maybe then I would have much more success. But I also don't have the time to do it. So I'm working in a tire factory, and I'm doing this 8 hours a day. So I just play Magic on weekends or maybe some hours on Magic Online every day.
All right. So you have a full-time job, and you fit Magic in where you can, usually on weekends or Magic Online throughout the week or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's pretty fun. That's pretty fun. So growing up, did you always play games? Were your family gamers? Did you play games with your siblings? Or where did your gaming bug come from?
Yeah, it's probably from my childhood when I saw kids in my class playing Game Boy games, and I also wanted one. And I finally got one from my mother at the birthday. I don't know which year it was. But since then, I play games.
Excellent. So just kind of that cultural, exposure where everybody had the Game Boy and you wanted one. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I remember when Game Gear was big, And that's the one that I really wanted. And I saved up all my monies from the little chores that I did. And I remember the day that I went down and I bought my game gear. And yeah, it was a fun day. So that's pretty cool. So as specifically for Magic, can you take us back in time and tell us the story of the first time you ever saw or played with Magic cards?
Okay, the first time I saw playing people with Magic cards was in ninth grade. And I was like, wow, why are you playing this childish games? So that was my first thought. And at some point, I was ready to, I don't know, I felt like I wanted to play this game. And a friend introduced me, and it was fun from the beginning. So the game just caught me.
So that first time in ninth grade when you saw the people playing, do you remember anything? Do you remember what set it was or what the cards were? Do you remember anything from then?
Yeah, I remember Whistletrix, and what was the other one?
Whistletrix?
Whistletrix, the 7-mana 6/6 vanilla, and the red one. I don't know what the name was, Whistletrix. And
I'm going to have to look that one up. Let's take a look here real quick.
it's basically the same in red. That was one of the first cards I've seen. And yeah.
Whistletrix? Oh my god, I don't think I ever... Hold on.
V-I-double-Z.
Whistletrix. Yeah, look at that. That's 7-mana, 6/6 vanilla. Oh, it's from Starter 1999. Okay. Oh, that's funny. It's Swamp Cousin, maybe meaner, but the Whistletrix is much bigger. Very cool. So Starter 1999, that was the first set that you saw. Is that the set that you came in on, or did you come in later?
Yeah, end of 2002. As my first booster I bought was from Mercadian Masks.
Okay.
I remember the card, the rare. It was Dust Bowl, and I still own it.
Really?
The exact same, yeah.
Wow.
And I never wanted to trade this away.
Mercadian Masks was your first set. And you said 2002.
Yeah.
And your first rare was Dust Bowl, and you still have it. Oh, man.
Yes.
That's fun. Do you have any fun memories from back then when you first got in?
Yeah, the fun memory was actually not positive on my side. It was my friend. He always opened the best rares in his boosters. I was walking with him to the shop. We both bought the same amount of boosters, and he has the best rares, and I have, you know, some crap or so. that was kind of fun, yeah.
Excellent. So Mercadian Mask came out 1999, and you started 2002, so it was obviously still on the shelves, and that's just the first one that you bought.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Was an old one, probably, yeah.
Did you get any Rishadan ports?
No. I only bought one booster of this one, and I didn't even know what cards there were in those sets.
Yeah. That's fun.
This time.
So how did your friend get you into Magic? What did he say? What did he do?
I don't know. I was hanging out with him a lot, and at some point I came to him. Maybe you can show me how to play this game. And I went to his house and we played, and yeah, basically the whole morning until afternoon. It was fun.
Nice. So curiosity got the better of you.
Yes. Yeah. I always had another friend. He had some cards, but I think he was just collecting them and never played. So, but he told me from the cards, and he showed them to his friends, and oh wow, look at those pictures, they look awesome. And so yeah,
very awesome. Now, have you played Solid since then, or have you been in and out like most people?
I was probably out of Paper Magic for 1 year, where I only played Magic Online.
Mm-hmm.
It was just 1 year. It was between 2012 and 2013. I didn't even own a current Magic card, so if I wanted to go to a standard tournament, I had to buy a whole deck. So I was not much into the game at this point, but it was just 1 year. So
yeah, but you still played online, so you've been pretty involved with Magic since you started in 2002, which is neat. And you know, that's what, 15 years. So what's been your favorite set?
My favorite set to draft was probably Scars of Mirrodin, because I had the most success with it. Because it was easy to draft. You draft some artifacts and add just a few colored cards, and that's a deck.
Excellent.
That's why I love the set.
Scars of Mirrodin. And along the same lines, what's one of your favorite cards?
Probably Steel Hellkite at this time.
Nice. Okay. So for those of us who don't know, what is Steel Hellkite, and what does it do, and why do you like it?
I don't know. It's colorless. You can play it in every deck, and it kills the permanents from your opponent, so it just dominates the game. That just feels awesome.
Did you use it in limited mostly or in constructed?
Yeah, just in limited, probably. Yeah, in limited only.
Awesome. Yeah, so let's see here. Steel Hellkite was, like you said, colorless as an artifact creature. 6 mana, 5/5, flying. Pay 2. Oh, it has fire breathing. So you pay 2 and it gets +1/+0. And then pay X, destroy each non-land permanent with converted mana cost X.
Yeah.
Whose controller was dealt damage by Steel Hellkite this turn. Okay, so you deal damage and then you pay X and then you destroy, every non-land permanent with X converted mana cost. That is pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, I can see that being a nice fun card. Get in there and deal some damage. That's pretty fun. So, cool. Awesome. So, yeah, I mean, that's great. We learned how you came in and your favorite set, your favorite card. And when you started getting serious about Magic, like when after you kind of learned the basics, what was an early challenge that you struggled with, but that you eventually overcame?
Early challenge? Maybe my first goal was to win an FNM.
Yeah?
It even took, when I won my first FNM, but actually the first success I had and I got the attention from people was at an Grand Prix trial, and we had really big ones. I think there were like 50 people or so, and I won this one with a classic blue-white control with in the Onslaught block and Mirrodin. I don't know if you can remember Eternal Dragon and the Decree of Justice and such stuff.
Nice. So how did you do that? How did you overcome? So you had a goal, which was to win FNM or take down a GPT. How did you do it? Like, what was your path like in improving?
I don't know. I was trying to concentrate off the game. I mean, if I want to have fun, I have to win. So I basically always try to win and do my best. And sometimes it pays off, and sometimes it doesn't even work because I don't know, bad luck or some moments of unconcentration
That's interesting. Yeah. So it's just all these little things that, kind of pop up and get in the way of, of our goals. And did you have any help along the way? And were you able to, how did you, what was your process for improving?
Playing Magic Online I played a long time at Magic League. And that was actually the time I improved the most because I was regularly playing Magic for free, basically.
What's Magic League?
Magic League is a free site. You can register there and then play via, now it's Cockatrice. And at that time Magic Workstation.
Yeah.
And then you play tournaments. Yeah, it was so you get used to the basics, how you play your deck.
Got it. So it was an opportunity just to get some reps in, just to play. So you played a lot. You were able to play some games to learn the basics, learn the decks, and then you played online as well to kind of get a feel for a little more of the competitive side, sounds like. And it's through that process of just constantly playing that you were able to improve yourself.
Yeah, and I always hung out in the chat rooms and talked to those people. We always had a team. So
yeah.
it's similar to the current proto teams. So we just gather some people, give the team a name and collect points. And if we are under the top 3 teams, we qualify for the end of month tournament.
What do you think talking with other people did for you and your skill as a player?
It did a lot because I get to know their views of plays and how to build decks and so on. That's one of the most important things in Magic in general.
Mm-hmm.
Discuss plays and deck buildings.
And how did you decide who you were going to surround yourself with and who you were going to talk to about Magic?
Yeah, actually, the people that I had much success and not even those people, there were some people who are always experimenting with new decks, and the opinion of those was most important because they play more decks, more strategies. Yeah.
Yeah. So just, you know, those who did well and then those who are just constantly in the game, constantly coming up with new ideas and new decks, like you were saying. And, you know, even if they weren't winning all the events, obviously they were thinking about Magic. They're approaching decks and cards from different angles, and having those insights are very valuable for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. So what were some of your other Magic milestones? Like, so you mentioned, you know, doing well at that GPT, but leading up to the Grand Prix, which we'll dive into for sure. What were some other times that you look back on and say, oh, hey, that was a big deal for me?
Yeah, I actually also had much success at the Terrace block, that limited format, because I played with a friend, Drafts, and we were watching each other via Team Bureau. And he was, he was reading articles about the limited format, and he told me about it because I didn't have much time. And that's where I got really familiar with this format. And I also was in a Super Sunday series qualifiers.
Oh, neat.
Qualifier in the finals. It was Khan's block, I believe. Yeah. That's where I played many games in those limited format. And it somehow paid off.
Excellent. So looking back, your milestones are, you know, some of the limited formats that you did well in, Theros and Khan's of Tarkir. Were you able to do well and play a lot and get good results? So
yeah,
very fun. Very fun. So as you have gone through Magic, you've had ups and downs just like every other player. And we want to learn from two specific moments. The first one being your worst Magic moment. Can you take us there? Tell us the story about what happened and then what you learned from your worst Magic moment.
Worst Magic moment? I don't know if there's an actual worst Magic moment. But I'm always frustrated when I make a misplay. I don't remember a specific one, but that's what puts me down really much. Yeah.
Is there a near miss story? Like, you know, when you didn't make day two or you missed top eight, or is there a time that something like that stands out?
I don't remember right now. Really, no.
That's right. You choose to focus on the positive, sounds like. That's a good thing. So when you do, you know, experience losses, like you said, what do you do to move past it? How do you get over it and how do you move on?
I just think from game to game or tournament to tournament. I don't want to think much about the bad moments because, I don't know, I can't change it anyway.
That's a good point.
So I mean, I know if I play well, my good results will come again. So
if you play well, your good results will come back. I like that. That's good. That's really good. So on the flip side are our highs. What has been your proudest Magic moment to date?
Yeah, probably the top eight at Grand Prix Liverpool, because it was my third Grand Prix day two just right now. So I was really surprised doing that well.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Because I didn't do that much preparation for it, but like I always said in my description that I somehow was familiar from the beginning with this format. I don't know how, but it just happened.
And this was only your third day two?
Yeah, this was my third day two.
Wow. Wow, that's really neat. And so this format just kind of clicked with you. You said that you didn't really do much preparation, but you just kind of knew the format. So just something about it clicked and it just kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool. I guess, can you unpackage that at all? Like, why do you think that is? What makes sense about this set to you? Like, help us understand a little bit of your perspective.
Yeah, I think the format is pretty simple because you have to only focus on one thing, and I think it's the curve, the mana curve.
Okay.
If the mana curve is okay, then your plays will play out well. That's what I actually noticed on the first draft in Liverpool day two, because I didn't think my deck was that great, but I had a really good curve and I went 3-0 in the draft.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I mean, it's nice when when things like that just kind of click. So making top eight of a Grand Prix for the first time, you mentioned as your proudest magic moment. What did that feel like? Like when you made the top eight and you're playing there, like what did that feel like for you?
It felt great because I could finally prove to my friends that I'm always able to do well at Grand Prix. Yeah. Because all my friends were a couple of times like 22nd place, 40th place, and I wanted to do the same. So now I kind of did it, yeah.
Excellent. So this would be your first Pro Tour then?
It's my second Pro Tour now because I was already qualified for the... Yeah, I just missed it, how I qualified for Albuquerque because I was playing a last chance qualifier.
Oh, yeah.
For the regional PTQ, and I won this one, and then top four at the regional Pro Tour qualifier.
Wow, that's cool.
That's really cool. That was also a great weekend.
Wow. So which, as of right now, what's your next Pro Tour? Which one are you going to be going to?
Will be Bilbao.
Okay. And are you also going to the one after that, or is this just the one that you have lined up?
What did you mean?
So right now, is that the only Pro Tour that you're going to be going to, or do you have another one queued up?
I'm just qualified for this one right now. But I'm trying to... qualify also for the next one.
Of course. Yeah. Super fun. So when you make top eight of a Grand Prix and you know they're going to be, you know, going to the Pro Tour, how do you plan to prepare? Because this is, you know, going to be a modern Pro Tour. Do you have a team? Do you have a group? Like, what are you going to do as you get ready for a big event like a Pro Tour?
We had a team at Albuquerque. I hope we will mostly come together with the same persons. But how do I prepare? I have my deck that I always play in modern. It is blue black fairies.
Ooh!
And I'm really confident with this deck, so I'm trying to test it really hard on Magic Online.
Yeah.
Till then, and I hope it pays off. But we will see.
So someone like you who has, you know, a deck in modern that they always play and they're very confident with, like you just said. What do you make any changes? I'm assuming you're kind of looking at the meta and do you make any minor changes? Like how do you gauge that aspect of modern?
Yeah, I don't know the meta game that much right now because it is really wide. So I will probably talk to people what they expect and then arrange my sideboard like that. And
so it's mainly sideboard changes that you're going to do.
Yeah. My main deck will not change that much. Maybe the decision is only between do I play Ancestral Visions or something like Serum Visions or Opt.
Mm.
I don't know what is more important, the card selection or card advantage.
Interesting.
Depends.
Oh, man. And those little nuances, that's cool. You know, like, all right, so it's like Ancestral Visions or Opt and, you know, knowing the difference between card selection, card advantage. So for those of us who kind of... Here's what I want. I want you to break down what is card advantage and what is card selection.
Yeah, card advantage is that you have more cards than your opponent. Maybe you have cards in hand that you can't cast in right now or so. That's the problem. If you do card advantage but can't take advantage of it, but if you have card selection, then you only choose the cards you can play right now, so it's faster. So it depends if you play against slow decks, then card advantage is better, obviously. But if you play against fast decks, like combo decks, where it's more important to have the right cards, then you will more focus on the card selection.
Perfect. You read my mind. So yeah, card advantage is just pure number of cards, like you just having them in your hand. So draw spells give you card advantage, for example. Card selection, like you said, is just being able to sculpt your hand to choose the one, you know, that you want, and usually through scry or something like that. And I was going to ask you, when do you want one over the other? And so against faster decks, you want the card selection because it's faster, but against slower decks, then the card advantage is better just because you're able to fill up your card, fill up your hand and give you more options.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. And then obviously, since the next Pro Tour, the format is going to be a little bit different. Obviously, that's going to be after Rivals is released, and we don't know exactly what the impact of Modern is going to be. You know, you're staying you know, fresh and current with your skills with your deck, but you're not going to make the final, you know, tweaks until, you know, you kind of see what is doing well at the time. So
yeah,
makes perfect sense. Cause who knows, there might be some crazy modern staple that comes out in Rivals of Ixalan that really shakes things up. You never know, right? You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
So that's pretty fun. So what would you say is your best format?
You mean constructed format, or you mean
like standard, modern, limited?
In general, standard is my favorite format because it is various, because it changes constantly. That's what I like on this format. I mean, I don't actually like modern that much because you can't predict the meta game that well. You can play against any deck that you could ever think of.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not prepared for it. That's what I don't like on this format. But yeah.
So standard. So I like standard too a lot, and I haven't been able to play much of it recently. So let's dive into that. Like, what are you playing in standard right now? What's good?
I was playing through black control because I thought it was great against the energy decks.
Okay.
And it actually was, but you have to play tight to win against those decks, because one misstep can lead to an instant loss because their threats are so powerful.
Okay, so blue-black control, but you have to be really sharp. You have to be on your game because the energy decks can punish you for a mistake.
Yeah.
Interesting. So where do you think, I mean, is that kind of where things are right now, and that's how they're going to be until Rivals comes out, or are you looking at, you know, do you have many standard events coming up where you even care? Like, are you pushing standard and, you know, trying new stuff out? What do you think is happening to the format?
Standard, I don't know what could happen to standard format. I don't know what cards come out in Rivals for Ixalan, but I don't know.
Are things pretty much settled between now and when Rivals comes out?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you have any events coming up between now and the Pro Tour?
My next event will probably be Grand Prix London. It is sealed format with Rivals of Ixalan. That will be my next big event.
That should be pretty fun. So you say Grand Prix London?
Yeah.
Nice. Do you only travel in Europe for your Grand Prix, or do you go abroad?
Yeah, mostly in Europe because it's very cheap.
Yeah.
If I qualify for a Pro Tour, I don't have to pay anything for the flight. So then I will also fly to America.
Of course.
America,
yeah.
That's
nice. So then when you went to Pro Tour Albuquerque, right, was that your first time playing Magic in the States, or had you done it before?
I've done it before when Pro Tour Philadelphia.
Oh, right.
Before, yeah. Then I also played in the States, but I didn't do well because that's what the time when that was actually the first official modern event.
Mm-hmm.
Was the Pro Tour Philadelphia, and that was kind of weird because I didn't know what to play. I just, it was not that much testing from my side.
Yeah,
that's why I probably didn't do that well. And the limited format, I also don't like. It was M12, I believe, and I just couldn't
crack that code.
Yeah, I never really got into it.
Interesting. Yeah. So with a standard event, let's say you have a standard Grand Prix coming up, how far out in advance do you choose your deck, and how do you choose your deck?
That's I always play the same kind of deck, so I choose my deck like 2 months
mm-hmm.
advance.
And what kind of decks do you play?
Yeah, I always try to play control decks.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
My decision at the last Pro Tour was between blue-white approach or blue-black control, and my friends told me blue-black was better, so I played blue-black.
Excellent. That's cool. Now, so regardless of the format, you tend to play a controlled style deck?
Yes.
Okay. And that's neat. So you kind of stick with what you know, and do you feel that that gives you an advantage?
Yeah, I think so, because I always have the same plays. It's the same strategy, and I can focus on that. I don't know if I could make it with other decks. I don't try that so often.
That makes sense. Like you said, the specifics may be different, the makeup may be different, but the strategy will be, you know, similar. Yeah. That's neat. So as you've been playing Magic for years in you know, various sizes of events. What would you say is the biggest mistake that you have seen other players make?
Biggest mistake? You mean a single big mistake or just in general?
Yeah, just from your observation. So, you know, yeah, what's the biggest mistake that you've seen players make?
I think they don't think about how the game will process.
Mm-hmm.
And they just play out of their, I don't know, how do you say it? Just what they just came into their mind. They don't think much ahead.
Yeah.
That's what I often notice at my local area. And that's not a good thing, actually.
So they don't think about how the game will progress. They don't think ahead. They just kind of play their own plan. What do you do, or what tips do you have for us that we can overcome that?
They have to know if they can win with their deck in the late game. That's a big point. If they can't, then they have to play more aggressive, then use their removal spells more aggressive. If they don't have a good late game, and on the other side, if they have a good late game, they should trade more and play conservatively. Yeah, that's the routes you have to think of.
That's a really good point. And what have you done to develop this skill? How have you been able to, you know, learn to look ahead better in your games?
I was watching some streams, mostly from Michael Jacob, and I think I learned a lot from him because he taught me those basics more, and I got more into it. I don't know if you know Michael Jacob.
The name's familiar. So you would watch Michael Jacob's streams, and he's the one that kind of talked about that and helped you learn to at least think about thinking ahead.
that's right. Yeah.
Awesome. Now, what have you learned from Magic that you've been able to apply to other areas of your life?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Yeah. What did I do? Yeah. What I mostly learned was probably analyzing my mistakes, how to improve them, how to get better. That's what I also do in life. I always question what I've done and why did I do it wrong and how do I do it better the next time. That's probably...
Love it. So analyzing your mistakes and then determining what you could do better and the next time hopefully doing better.
Yeah,
that's an awesome skill, and I love how, you know, we can pull even something as critical as that out of this game that we play. So I absolutely love Magic for that, and as well as for the many other lessons that it teaches us, for sure. Now, as a Magic player, what are your shortcomings? What are you looking to improve on?
I'm trying to be more concentrated. I know I'm not... sometimes I'm not focused, and that's when I lose. I also noticed this on the day two at the Pro Tour. I wasn't that much concentrated, and I still did go well at this Pro Tour, but I think it could have gone better.
Yeah,
if I played more concentrated.
So concentrating more, especially at big events, sounds like. Now, on that note, what tips do you have for us for, you know, long Magic days? You know, Grand Prix day ones are pretty long, and you know, Pro Tour, you're there for the good part of the day playing a lot of Magic. How do you stay sharp for a long Magic day? What are some tips you can share with us?
Yeah, you have to do a good breakfast, okay. Drink much, stay hydrated. I mean that's not always working, but that's the tip I can give, the advice I can give.
That's good. Have a good breakfast. Stay hydrated.
Yeah. Like
that. You know, when you're traveling, because obviously in Europe, you have to travel, you know, a lot to go to these different Grand Prix. What do you take with you? What is inside your tournament bag?
My tournament bag, play mat, some sheets of paper, dice. And if I go to a constructed tournament, a box of cards I will likely can play, so a pile of standard cards or modern cards, whatever event I go to.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite playmat?
My favorite playmat is probably the one with the Etherwild picture. I don't know which tournament it was. It was probably Bologna.
Cool. The Etherwild picture. That's cool. That's really cool. So right now, how many pro points do you have?
This season, 12.
Hey, not bad. Not bad. So is that bronze already?
Yeah, this is bronze. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Very cool. And you need what? It's 20 for silver, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to get those remaining 8 points, hopefully.
Make it, I don't know. So is it, you're going to get 3 just for going to the Pro Tour, right?
Yeah.
So it's 15. So you just need 5 more. What are your plans? How are you going to get 5 points?
Trying to do well in London and go at least 11-5 in Bilbao, but it's a hard thing to do. So
yeah, I was going to say, what record do you need to get the 5 points?
11-5.
So you go 11-5 at the Pro Tour, then you'll get your 3 points plus the 5. So that's great. And so then, if you do well in London, so the better you do in London, then the more wiggle room you have at the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what I'm thinking. Yes.
Very cool. And then do you have any other events after the Pro Tour, that you're going to go to pick up some more points if needed?
I did not plan that much ahead right
now.
Oh,
too far ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
Too far ahead. All right, that's cool. Now, when you are keeping up with Magic, what are the resources that you turn to? Where can you recommend that we go to keep up on what's going on?
Yeah, reading articles. Channel Fireball is probably a good source.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah. But, yeah, I think that's it.
So Channel Fireball is a good resource that you turn to?
Yeah.
Excellent. And do you have any habits or rituals that you feel contribute to your success as a Magic player, whether they're Magic related or not? Are there things that you do that help you out?
Help me out. I can think of one right now. I don't know.
Just play. Just play a lot of Magic.
Yeah.
So one thing that some listeners are interested in is, especially for like newer players, can you think back to when you were a new player, what advice do you wish you had then? What did you wish you knew then that would have helped you progress?
Maybe the passion to the game. You have to be willing to play the game, so you can't just say, "Yeah, I'm playing a game of Magic at my kitchen table and then drink a beer." That's not how you improve at Magic. So you have to really want it.
Yeah.
That's not only for Magic. That's for every game you play. If you don't actually want to play the game, then you will probably don't become better or be any good. That's my opinion.
I like that. That's really good. Well, I want to remind the Prodigies, if you want to connect with Torsten, you can do so on the Facebook group. That's the best place to find them. We'll get them into the Facebook group. That's mtgprotutor.com/Facebook group. You'll be directed to the group and you can join there. You can do a post, tag Torsten in it, because that's where we will find him most likely. So Torsten, as we wrap things up here, what is one last parting piece of guidance for us? Either something you already said that you want to emphasize or something new you want to leave with us here at the end.
Yeah, the best advice I can give is analyzing your strategy in the particular game you play. You have to know what role you are playing, and if you can find it out, then I think that's one of the best, the most important key.
Excellent. Torsten, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to Multiverse. I want to thank you so much for sharing your time and for sharing your experiences with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed, always draw what you need, and depart every plane victorious.
Yeah, thank you.
There you have it, episode 256, all ready to go. Of course, you can get the show notes at mtgpro2.com/Torsten Anders. And Torsten, I want to say thank you again for coming onto the show, for sharing your journey with us. It's always fun to learn from players from all over the world. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And of course, I can't close out the show without saying thank you to the patrons. You make the show possible. And I'm really excited to announce the changes to the Patreon structure that we have coming up in the next few weeks. But I'll just put that out there as a teaser for now and keep the details under wraps. But if you are interested in becoming a patron, if you feel like you have learned from this show, you've grown, you've gotten better, if you feel I've deserved your support, then mtgpro2.com/Patreon is where you go to learn more. And again, only go there and check it out if you feel like I have earned your support. And I really try hard to earn it, but if you don't feel I have, then don't worry about it. The show will still be free. I put out 2 episodes each and every week with the goal of helping Magic players all over the world connect with the best spellslingers that we know and improve their skills. So thank you so much for joining me. I love doing this show. Can't wait to connect with you again. And until then, I am Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.